This sermon was requested this past week because of the events that are the event that is coming up on April the 8th of this year. There will be a full eclipse of the sun that will take place in certain areas of the United States that will be visible as it goes on up into Nova Scotia and on. And there have been those that have postulated the thought that this is a herald of the end of time. And it was shared with me by the person that requested this lesson. Some things off of Facebook that are being said in connection with that. And I want to look at some of the things that have been presented on Facebook, look at the claims that are made, and also some other claims that have been made not only recently concerning events that take place here upon this earth, but also events that have happened in the past. We look back and we understand that there have been various predictions of the end of time. Usually, whenever this list is made, it does not include something out of the Bible. But we go back to the church at Thessalonica and some of the beliefs of the individuals there, the brethren there, that believed that the end of time was imminent because of some misunderstandings that Paul had presented to them in the first letter and also in his teaching. Specifically in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and following, the day of the Lord will come, of course, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ will arrive first. Because of that teaching that Paul gave, there were those at Thessalonica that believed that the coming was imminent. And I think that we can take what is written in 2 Thessalonians and also in 1 Thessalonians and look at the effects that it had upon those people at that time. They quit working. They quit involving themselves in society. And basically did nothing but sit down and look to the heavens waiting for the end of time to take place. We have this recorded for us when we look, I think, from what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the concerning of the Lord Jesus Christ that are gathering together unto him, to the end that you not be quickly shaken from your mind, and nor yet be troubled either by spirit or by word or by epistle from us, that the day of the Lord is just at hand. He goes on, of course, and explains some things were going to be taking place. The falling away would take place before that day would come. But here we have an account that goes back to a prediction of the end of time, a misunderstanding even by brethren. We continue on to 500 AD and three theologians at that time, Hippolytus, Sextus Julius, and Irenaeus, all predicted that the end of time would take place in the year 500. And on at least by some of these, that prediction came about by the dimensions of the ark, in which there were date periods that were accounted to those different dimensions of the ark. And also, since they believed that creation had been 5,500 years before, that had to be the time that the earth would end. February the 20th, 1524, James Stoffler said a planetary alignment in Pisces was seen by astrologers as a sign of the millennium. Again, a thought in connection with a thousand-year reign that is not mentioned in Scripture here upon this earth when time is no more, but that application made to that particular thought. In 1700, Henry Archer counted 1,335 years from the end of the reign of Julian the Apostate, the dates of whose reign was uncertain, taking the 1,335 days of Daniel in Daniel 12 as years and making application to it. So it had to take place then in sometime in 1700, and that was the prediction by this man. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, believe that what was written in Revelation 12, verse 14, referred to the years 1058 to 1836 when Christ should come. Quite a spread of time, but no later than 1836. We see, though, that particular passage with the term a time and times and half time, in which there was, of course, the application, at least in the mind of this man, what that meant as far as days on earth and years and so forth. And then we, many of us, went through the year 2000 and the Y2K scare. Frank Cherry, during that time, founder of the Black Hebrew Israelite religion, predicted that the end of the world would come in 2000. It was the end of the millennium. And Ed Dobson, a pastor, so to speak, predicted the end would come in his book, The End, Why Jesus Could Return by AD 2000. It's always interesting to me that you see these words, that word could, in all these postulations concerning the end. Dwight, the president of Yale University, foresaw Christ's millennium starting by 2000. And then a psychic predicted the second coming would occur this year, Edgar Cayce. It's interesting to note that really the millennium, the new millennium of the 21st century, didn't start until January 1st, 2001. They were a little bit off as far as the millenniums were concerned. Then we have, of course, in connection with the current, or rather going back to some of the more current dates that had been given, 12/21/2012 was to be the end of time. And this was postulated by some in science, not good science, but science nonetheless, that there would be an alignment of all the planets in our solar system. And because of that, there would be a gravitational pull that would take place upon the Earth that would throw it completely out of centric alignment in its normal orbit, casting it then into outer space and breaking apart not only Earth, but also all the planets and the sun because of that gravitational pull. That was the thought by some in connection with so-called science. The true alignment, it's very interesting where you look at that, on 12/21, only aligned these planets, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, plus our moon. And those were the only ones that were in alignment. And I have that shown for you here. The others were in their normal orbit without being in alignment to one another. There was also the end of the Mayan long count calendar. And they said because of this, the Mayans had foreseen the end of the world. And so the end of the world had to take place then December 21st, 2012. Wherever you go back and you look at that, it was the end of a particular era that had been foreseen by the Mayans and not necessarily the end of the world. But it was used to postulate this theory, of course, of the end of time. Nostradamus prophecies, and you have to understand, these prophecies from Nostradamus are translations of the words that Nostradamus wrote, and then from that translation they give a meaning, not necessarily to a particular thing, but as an individual thinks about it, that makes the translation. And so this is what Nostradamus wrote. He says there, where all is good, the sun all beneficial, and the moon is abundant, its ruin approaches, from the sky it advances to change your fortune in the same state as the seventh rock. The seventh rock or planet is Uranus, and it is a gas planet, and they were saying from this, many were saying that this is the end of time and that the Earth would become nothing more than a gas planet and could not support life. Life would be over. Mankind would vanish. And then you have the Chinese Yi Qing or I Ching prophecy, the fire dragon prophecy of December 21st, 2012. Waves of decreasing periodicity lead to an end date in the year 2012. The end date is the point of maximized novelty in the wave and is the only point in the entire wave that has a quantified value of zero, zero then being the end of time, no more counting of time because zero ends time. And so they said that, again, December 20th, 2012 was the end of time. And then you have those that follow Bible code. And from the Bible code, they say we see very clearly 12/21/12. If you take 2 Kings 21 and verse 12, 2K 21:12. Therefore, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, behold, I'm bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, And whosoever hears of it, both his ears shall tingle. And so here, this is the end of time that was given in connection again with 2012. 2012 had a lot of prophecies, a lot of things taking place in that time concerning the end of time. And then there was, leading up past that time, predictions that were made because of the years 2014 and 2015 with the four blood moons that took place. And Hagee and others, John Hagee and others, said that shortly after the four blood moons, those being assigned to us, that the coming of the Lord was imminent and would take place sometime in 2015. And then we come now, and just to say, we are still here. Just to point that out, we are still here. I won't even get into the multiple predictions by our Jehovah Witness friends. Matter of fact, they've stopped that since 1975. I don't know if they've stopped it or if they've quit publicizing it. Myself and David Lloyd were studying with a Jehovah's Witness man and had come down to the conclusion, looking at all the different prophecies that had been given by the Watchtower Society, that if they were truly recipients of inspiration from God, the Watchtower, that if 1975 was not the end of the world, this man says, my faith will not be in what comes from the Watchtower. And so 1975, January the 1st, rolls around 1976, and we tried to contact him. We could not find him. Later on, we found out that he did leave the Jehovah's Witnesses and basically became an atheist. But we're still here. After all of these different events that took place, we look back to some of the reasoning by this person that posted Facebook. I don't know if this is the Vincent James that is a preacher or if it's some other Vincent James. I found a Vincent James that is a preacher. I could not find exactly what, because I'm not on Facebook. I don't intend to be on Facebook, and I didn't want to start an account just to find out about him. Okay, so I was lazy on that, but from the standpoint of conviction, I didn't want to be on Facebook. Whoever this individual is, I want you to note some things that he says. On April 8th this year, there will be an eclipse. One singular eclipse is pretty amazing, but this one is actually the last of three, of a three-part series that has so much meaning behind it. It is important to know that God said that He would use the sun, moon, and stars to communicate with us. And He quotes Genesis 1 and verse 14, "Then God said, let there be the lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for a sign, for seasons, for days and years." You know, when you look at statements that are made, and especially when they have Scripture with them, if what is being said is true, it will be clear by the Scripture. And if it is not true, it will be pointed out by the Scripture. And here in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 14, it's not about signs or communication from God. It's nothing more than the setting in place of time and of seasons and days and years, as stated here in Genesis, the first chapter. It's not that the stars communicate to us. Matter of fact, Jesus had mentioned, of course, to the Jews, "You don't understand the current times. You look at the sky and you see in the morning that it is red, and you see it and lowering, and there's going to be storms. And at night it is red, and you say, well, there's going to be a peaceful calm then. Red sky at morning, sailors take warning. Red sky at night, sailors delight." That's the how that came about. But people still look to, of course, physical things in connection with the end of time. They're looking for some sort of sign. They're looking for some sort of sign. When will it happen? Let's continue on. Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 25, says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars," and this is quoted by the same man, "on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea." Here, Jesus is not talking about signs of the end of time, but rather He is addressing and giving signs in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in 70 AD. And there was a reason for giving those signs. Judgment had been made by God, by deity, that Jesus Christ would be the one that is focused on connection with our observance of God and His will and our servitude toward Him. Jesus would be the focus. And as long as that temple stood, there would be those that would look at that physical structure. That's always the case with man, where you think about something that is physical, man will have a tendency to put their trust in that. We look at Nehushtan back in the book of Judges. If you remember, whenever Israel sinned, you go back to the book of Numbers, God sent fiery serpents out among the people. And they bit them and many died. And so the people came to Moses and said, pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents. And God said, I'm not taking away the serpents, but I will give you a means of salvation. And he told them to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, put it in the midst of the congregation, and anytime anyone is bitten, well, then you look upon that serpent and then you will be saved. The means of salvation was not the serpent, it was the word of God. The means of salvation was through obedience. Later on in the book of Judges, that brazen serpent was still around and it had to be destroyed because it became an idol in Israel. And so it was destroyed. And so here, this is not talking about the end of time, but rather, here in Luke, the 21st chapter, he's speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And then the man goes on and says, so now that you know that God said that he would use the sun, moon, stars, and communicate with us, let's break down the three-part eclipse series. So just to reiterate, God never said that he would instruct us by the sun, moon, and stars. He's talking about events that would take place and using metaphors in connection with them, the darkening of these things, the darkening of light, the destruction that would be coming, such as in the destruction of Jerusalem. So he goes on and he says, with the path of the last eclipse combined with the first two eclipses, one in 2017, the other in 2023, it will create the Hebrew letter over America that is Aleph Tav. And in the Greek, it is the Alpha and Omega. I'm sorry, there's a typo there. Both mean the beginning and the end. God said in Revelation 21, verse 6, he is the beginning and the end, the Aleph and the Tav, or the Alpha and Omega. And here I want you to look at the Hebrew letters, Aleph and Tav. And then I want to show you the Greek letters, Alpha and Omega. And he is correct, they both refer to the beginning and the end. But look at the paths that were taken by the three eclipses. Maybe you can see those Hebrew or Greek letters there. I don't see them. I see some things that might relate to an A, as we see in Alpha. I might see something there that is with the Aleph and Tav, wherever you look a little bit further down, but certainly not an exact replica of that. You know, whenever you think about this, people can see what they want to see. I want you to notice this. Look at this frying pan that was left on a hot stove overnight while this young man and four other young men, in their drunken stupor, forgot to turn off the stove. Whenever they decided they needed some cheese sandwiches. And in the morning, lo and behold, the face of Jesus came upon that pan. And it gave direction to them. The direction that this pan gave to them was, we need to sell this on eBay so we can get money. That was the direction they received. All of that goes along with this picture. I presented this back in 2012, as a matter of fact, before December the 21st. It was one of the things that was saying, it's another sign that Jesus is coming. And another person was frying some bread, and out from the fryer, of course, came the image of Jesus. And then we go on, and someone was walking down a street in Florida, and there was this glass building, and look who appeared on the glass building. Is Mary. Another sign from God. And then, if you don't clean your bathroom and let mold grow, you can also have Jesus appear. The fact of the matter is that in all of these, again, it's that physical sign that people are looking for. I read an article one time that human beings, because of the way that we are made and wired in our brains and so forth, we always look for some sort of face in some image. And I thought I would put that to a test. And I came into the building one time and I looked down and I saw a face in the carpet. And we always look to something and want to see a face. We want to see something we can identify with. And again, these are these situations that occur. And not in respect of what God is sending message to. As a matter of fact, these images of Jesus and Mary are from paintings that have been made that say they look like this. We don't know what they look like. We don't know. But this man goes on. Why would God use an eclipse to put his signature over America? Let's dig deeper. He says, Jonah went to Nineveh and warned the people, but there was something that also had to happen while he was warning the people. An eclipse for the warning came over the land in the 19th century. Ancient tablets were discovered that describe an eclipse called the Bur-Sagal eclipse, where the totality of the eclipse landed right over Nineveh while Jonah was there preaching on the 40-day warning before the coming of destruction. Because of this, the people realized that this was a sign from God, and what Jonah was saying was true, and they reported and repented, and God spared their nations. It's very interesting to me that from what he says here, he knew exactly the date that Jonah was present there in Nineveh. I don't know how he would know that, because it's not given to us to know. And not only that, the only thing that is mentioned in connection with Jonah and the preaching to Nineveh was just that, the preaching of the gospel. And it was a gospel to them. It was a gospel of good news of how to be saved. And they responded to that, not looking up into the sky for a sign, but rather rendering obedience, in which not only the people, but also the king over the entire nation repented in sackcloth and ashes, as recorded in Jonah 3, verses 3 through 9. We go on. He says, continuing with this eight eclipse of the Ninevehs, it's amazing how much America mirrors Nineveh. If you don't see it, you may be part of the problem. And so there we have, of course, doubt placed upon us. What am I missing? If I'm not seeing this, am I part of the problem? To make this even more clear, the last eclipse on April the 8th is going to be over seven cities here in America called, you guessed it, Nineveh. Seven in America, one in Nova Scotia. I did a fact check on this. It's very interesting, because this was also evidently posted as a video on TikTok. And the person that wrote this says only two of the eight places named Nineveh mentioned in the video, Nineveh, Indiana, and Nineveh, Ohio, will experience a total eclipse on April the 8th, 2024. The other six places called Nineveh listed in the video are located outside the projected 115-mile wide path of the moon's shadow and will experience a partial solar eclipse like every other town in the contiguous United States. And I went back then to the maps of the that are out there concerning this April 8th eclipse that is to take place, and this person, Sarah Thompson, is correct in this. It seems like there is always something that's put out there that has some shady aspect to it, and that's not a play on words intentionally. That has a shady aspect to it. The foundational statements of fact are not always there. They'll make claims, but it's not always there. Just like the galactic alignment of 2012. Only three planets aligned, then including our moon also. And it wasn't a perfect alignment, by the way. I forgot to mention that. And so the same thing with all the other postulations of the end of time. Consider the date itself. And I've not found this online, but I thought that I would go ahead and create my own for the April 8th event. April the 8th, 4/8/24. You take 4 times 2, that's 8. 8 times 3 is 24. What do you get out of that? Well, it has to be a message from God, because it's a date that is out there. It's written down. We can see that date. 4, as in the cardinal 4 directions, and the 4 winds of judgment, Zechariah 6 and verse 5, and the 4 rivers of paradise, Genesis 2 and verse 10. It has to be that paradise will be awaiting when this earth is over, and is going to involve everybody on the face of the earth, all 4 cardinal directions. It will be that judgment that will take place, even though even though this is over America. It's going to apply to everybody. And not only that, but God is involved, and the three is the number of deity, thus the 8 times 3, because we had the 4 times 2. God is doubling down on this and saying this really is the date that is going to take place, and we know that by the date and by what all this means, because 4 times 2 is 8. He's doubling down on this. It's going to happen. It's going to absolutely come about. So the number 24 is the number of the tribes of Israel doubled. On this date will be the end of time. There's my postulation. And I took it just by the date. I don't know if that's out there anywhere or not. I don't care. Because that's foolishness. It's foolishness. You think about this. Consider the towns that the eclipse will go over in 2024. Dequeen, Arkansas. Mount Ida, Arkansas. Clinton, Arkansas. Shirley, Arkansas. You know, and so you could make anything out of these names. Don't you understand that what the sign is not the end of time by these towns, but that Hillary Clinton is actually going to run for president, and she will win. She will be the queen. She will rule from the mountain. She is from Clinton, Arkansas. And Shirley, don't know who she is yet, but she will be the vice president. Surely that's what the meaning of this is. You see, you can make anything, say anything that you want. Very interesting in connection with this. We go back to what was stated by this man. He says, let's look back to the upcoming eclipse and dig even deeper. Jonah was giving a 40-day warning to Nineveh during the eclipse. If you look at the April 8th eclipse and fast forward 40 days, then you will get May 18th, 2024, the day of Pentecost. Surely there's a sign there. The history of Pentecost is that the last spring that the Lord has given us, there are 4 in the spring, or the last feast rather. There are 4 in the spring and 3 in the fall. God gave these feasts to the Jews under the Mosaic Law. No longer to be observed as holy days, but they were to the Jews. This is the day that the Lord sent His Holy Spirit down to all those who have accepted Christ, not to all. It was to the apostles. We are told that the restrainer, which many believe to be the Holy Spirit, will be removed before the tribulation. Could it be, and again we have the word could it be that this is a warning for that? And again, this is premillennial eschatology leading to, of course, the millennial reign of Christ here upon this earth. He says, I'm not sure, as that is a worldwide event and this eclipse will just be over North America, but it is something definitely to think and to pray about. For more clarity and wisdom, let me tell you that we think and we pray and we conduct ourselves with the fact that the Lord could come at any time. And so no matter what, there are too many things lining up for this to be nothing. There has to be, if there's smoke, there's fire. And so he says, my job is to get the information out to you so that you can at least be aware of the signs that God is giving us. And again, no signs. And as we had in our reading this morning, especially as, and we're going to note it one more time, 2 Peter 3rd chapter and verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He continues, I know that this is incredibly deep. Just like Proverbs 25 and 2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. This sign in the sky will be right over your head in just a few weeks. You will have the eyes to see what it really means. And I will have to agree with him. Yes, this man is spreading. What he is spreading is being spread deep. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. Now, am I saying that the Lord won't come on April the 8th? We don't know when he's coming. But I will say that it's not signs that he's coming on April the 8th. The sign in the sky is that time and timing that exist in a world created by God. You have alignments of sun, moon, all the planets that take place periodically from time to time. You have the darkening of the sun. You have the darkening of the moon. All of that is because of what God put in place so that in this circular motion or ellipse motion of the planets around the sun, there's going to be times because of time that certain events take place such as eclipse. And when we look over in Matthew 16 verses 1 through 4, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came testing him. They asked they would show him a sign from heaven. He said, what is it in the evening that you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather for the sky is red and threatening? Hypocrites. hypocrites, looking at that created thing in connection with God and His determinations. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. The sign of the prophet Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the fish's belly. And so, as that was, Christ Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth and rose again in victory. The attitude of this generation is still present today. Give us a sign, God. We have to have a sign. Some for last-minute preparation, others for preparation the way that it should, because there is no warning. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, we look at this and we understand that from this passage of Scripture and many other passages, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The Lord wants a prepared people. Not looking for signs, but looking to Jesus in their conduct, in the way that they live their lives, and the examples that they set forth. We look over in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. There will be no earth to last 1,000 years. Very interesting wherever you look in this passage of Scripture, especially verse 13. We look for new heavens and new earth. And the word new there is the meaning of not renovated. That's a different Greek word. But the meaning of this is fresh and new in His abode. It is abode that is created for us eternally. That we are with God. The Lord wants a prepared people, but also desirous of heaven, not here upon this earth. We look over in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. There will be joy for God's own, because when He comes, we will ever be with Him. The Lord wants a prepared people that are desirous of heaven to be with Him eternally. And that's the way that they conducted their lives here upon this earth to do so. And then for those that are not God's own, Romans 2, verses 8 and 9. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. You who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who obey not the gospel of Christ, those that look for signs, not obedience to God's will. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence and from the glory of His power. Don't be fooled and found looking for signs. Look into God's word for truth and live as though the Lord will appear at any moment. I'll go back and use a principle from Jesus' discussion about the destruction of Jerusalem. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Doesn't matter what judgment you're talking about from God, that is a principle that is true. That it comes without that unless God gives signs, and He did in connection with the destruction of Jerusalem, but not about the end of time and not about the flood. Those mirror one another quite often, I think. That is the flood and also the end of time. You understand that at the event that took place during Noah's day, there was not a believer on earth except for 8 souls. Noah and his family. Will it be the same at the end of time? God knows. But there have certainly been mirrors in connection with that. Could any man ever know the date in which there are no other believers to render obedience? Man can never know that. God could only know that. And so we look at these things, we understand that this is not from God. This eclipse as a sign of a world-ending event and the second coming of Christ. These are events from God because of time and the universe that He put in this place that shows us not the direction that we need to go in serving Him and worshiping Him, but to believe that He exists. And that's what it's signs of. This eclipse and all the other events that take place physically. I ask you this morning, where is your confidence? Is it on, Lord, I'm waiting for You to show me a sign. If You'll show me a sign, well, then I will obey. Or is it, I see the sign You gave me. you rose from the dead the third day, and besides that, not only that, but I have the signal from you from God's word that you gave, the Bible. And I don't know what to do. If you're not a child of God, put your trust in Him. And if you are a child of God, and you know there are a lot of people that are going to take these things that were written on Facebook and TikTok and make this postulation of the end of time, be ready to answer these questions. And go back and look at some of the history, such as I've given in this lesson. Be a prepared people. Be a prepared people, ready to serve God. Show forth the example of glorifying God in your life. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.